The following message is by Reverend Sandy Kareen at the Revival Center in Clovis, California.
In his book, I Surrender, Patrick Morley writes that the church's integrity problem is in the misconception that we can add Christ to our lives without subtracting any sin. It is a change in belief without a change in behavior. He would go on to say in this work that it is revival without reformation, it is revival without repentance, which is no revival at all. And so, because of many predisposed ideas, Satan has pumped fear into the Christian community. He has caused rebellion, hate, anger, envy, strife, and many other foul things to rule. Preachers don't preach anymore the way that they should. And so, because of that, we have a problem in our society where large churches and even small churches feel that it's okay to just add a few morals to the mix that we already have. This, however, will not bring revival, and this is not the case of what we live in. Jeremiah 6, verses 16 and 17 describes the condition of the people. Satan has a plan. He has a definite plan to destroy America and to break down the American people. I want to quickly tell you what that is tonight. The burden of it is hard upon me. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken to the sound of the trumpet. People don't want a watchman. They want a puppet. And so what's happening in society is they're being led to believe that everything is okay. As long as they are not an atheist, they're probably going to be all right. But we have failed to see the signs of the times. There are false prophets everywhere, not just behind the pulpits. They're in the White House. They're in the media. They are pretty much everywhere you go. We can be so preoccupied with the invention of the world that we forget spiritual practices. It's a serious situation. And thereby, we give Satan permission in our surroundings. Ever so slowly and ever so carefully, he takes it, and we have an enemy. Sometimes I think the devil leaves us alone just enough to where we think things are okay. And we have lost our fight for the most part. I don't know, you come from different churches in here at the Revival Center. We are a warring church. We fight, but even in that we fail, I'm sure, we're people. 1 John 2:15 through 17, Jesus said this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. The problem that we have is we don't want to break habits that we have grown accustomed to. The weights that so easily beset us, the things that entangle us, like Hebrews 12 talks about. As long as we can hold on to enough of what we like, we'll let the Lord think that he's got what he likes. The Lord is calling us to a revival of radical proportions. And it means that we are not going to be able to sit by and add Jesus to what we're doing. We're going to have to stop doing what we're doing and only walk with the Lord. Amen? Turn to 2 Chronicles and we'll get to the meat of it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. People don't want to pay a price. I don't understand it. I've never understood it. When I was a kid, we traveled 1 hour to church, and we did that for 20 years because that's what we were growing in God. That's what we learned how to walk in revival. That's what we learned to die to self. A little church on the edge of a municipality, and it took us an hour to get there. And we went 3 times a week. In a gas crisis, 3 times a week. Sick with collapsed lungs, 3 times a week. With no time, 3 times a week with no money, 3 times a week with children that were little, 3 times a week. Did it when I was a kid, did it when my kids were kids. And I will submit to you today, the suffering of that, the sacrifice of that, the tarrying of that, the price of that will build you. When you allow your life to give you an excuse to back up, then you're backed up, aren't you? Now, I'm talking to people that made their way out on a Friday night. That's good. Nice. Glad to hear it. Glad you're here. Glad you made the effort. But the truth is, the enemy wants to take you to a place where there is no return. He wants to take you to a place where the work is a struggle constantly. There's never any pushing through. Your wounds lead you. Your desires evade you. Because you don't want to pay the price. You don't want to pay the price to be wrong. Don't want to pay the price to suffer to the right or suffer to the left. You just want it comfortable. And the pressure is going to start coming on. And I'm giving you this warning now. It's going to start coming on. And you better be ready to make decisions. You better be ready to make decisions. Your life is God's. Whether you live or die, whether you rise up or lay down, whether your lungs infected and your throat doesn't work or not, you belong to God. Amen. So you come and you do the things that the Lord would have you to do. But he's going to call you to task. He's going to call you. He's going to say, I need you to give this. I need you to do that. I need you to be here. I need you to be there. Suffer and tarry a little while. And I'll tell you this, I am very glad that my parents drug us to church as often as we did with the great long drive that we had to go through, because I was not taught compromise. It didn't occur to me because I didn't see it modeled. I didn't see it exampled to me. I am far from perfect, but one thing I've got, press through the pain, because I saw it done. My parents never gave us a way out. You're going an hour to church. You're not going to have any Christian friends in your school. You're not going to have any Christian friends in your town because they're all compromisers. You're going to church an hour away. You will know nobody in town. You will not get to go to a little group. You will not get to go to a little thing, a little Christian party. You get to do nothing except go, radically go, run hard to the cross. And when you come back to your little town, no one Christian will you have. You will have no friends because Christ is your friend. And 2 or 3 times a week, you'll drag your sorry soul to a little town on the corner of nowhere, filled with a bunch of Filipino people, and you are 1 of 10 white people. And you get to stay there and learn for 20 years and praise God. Because I didn't expect somebody to hand it to me. I didn't expect somebody to make it easy for me. I don't have any friends. So what? No one likes me. Okay. You're a kid. Suck it up. Move on. Get with the business. Marriages are falling apart because people aren't getting what they want. Well, who said you were supposed to get what you want? Children are growing up selfish because they don't get what they want. Who said you're supposed to get what you want? We go for the cross. And when you go to the cross like that, the enemy, he cannot blind you because you've got your eye on the mark of Jesus Christ, the high mark in God. Amen. When you're running just for the cross, and it doesn't matter then. Children throw fits, you know, I don't have any friends. I want to join this club or that club. Well, go ahead. The club isn't going to save you. And the sooner we find out that the people at work aren't going to like you, the people in your community aren't going to be your best friend, the better off you're going to be. Because then all of a sudden you realize, I am striving for the cross. I'm not in this to make a friend. I'm in this to honor God. And when that comes about in your life, there's no price that you wouldn't pay. And you people in here with young children, praise God for you, that you are showing them the way that they should go. And you're saying, no, we will follow Christ this way. Too bad if you don't like it. We're going this way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And in the end of the night, you look back over the day and you can say, Lord, I did everything I could do, and you don't have to make an excuse before your maker. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Hazetmanar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and they built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before the house. And in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes, they are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matnai, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of that brook, before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his promises, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, for none had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves into the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Barak unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again in Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries. When they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now all of this has come for me to have you pay attention to what's going to come next. Howbeit, he did everything that was right. He did everything that he was taught to do. He did everything that his father taught him to do. All the good things he was taught, he did. The Bible says, howbeit. When there's a howbeit in your life, you have to pay attention. It isn't simply that I'm doing good things and it's okay and I'm better than the next guy. If you say that, that's fine. But there will always be a howbeit, because God will always pull you up from what you think you're doing to what you should be doing. He'll always pull you to the next place. And here is Jehoshaphat. He walked in the way of his father and departed not from it. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And it sounds good and I like it. But then, howbeit, the high places, verse 33 says, the high places were not taken away. For as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. And tonight I'm throwing a howbeit at you. We're going to finish 2 Chronicles 20 in just a minute. But I want to throw this at you. They did not prepare their hearts unto the God of their fathers in verse 33. They did not prepare their hearts. And tonight I'm going to ask you to prepare your heart to go to the place that has not been prepared before. Because you cannot take away the high places if your life isn't prepared. If your heart isn't prepared, you won't see it. You won't want to see it. You won't notice it. You won't care. Man, you'll hide from it, because that's nothing but trouble. Things are going okay, aren't they? They're going pretty good as they are. But when the Lord shows up and says, you're doing pretty good, howbeit, then we have to pay attention, because Satan has a plan to not only destroy what we're doing, but destroy the country that was paid for by the blood of the saints. Amen? Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat in verse 34, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahazi, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. When God shouts a howbeit to you, if you do not respond to the how be it, if you do not say, you know, I'm doing pretty good, but God's revealed this thing to me here. I've got to add not God to what I'm doing. I've got to get rid of what I'm doing and put God in the centermost place. I've got to get rid of all these wounds and these terrors, these fears and these problems and these stupid ideas of Christianity that I built up myself. I've got to get rid of them. If you don't do it, if you don't pay attention to the how be it, then the next thing that happens to you is you join yourself to a wicked king who the Bible says did very wickedly. He wasn't just a bad guy, he was a really bad guy. And he wasn't just somebody walking by, he's somebody that Jehoshaphat, because he had ignored the how be it, and whenever you ignore the how be it, you're now bait for Satan. When you ignore the how be it, you try to maintain who you are in God, but it won't happen. It will not be allowed because the devil's after you now because you've ignored the how be it. You've ignored the hard thing before God. And when you ignore the hard thing before God, the devil will always send you somebody that you can join yourself to who is more wicked than you. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made ships in Ezion Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Merishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken thy works, and the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. He had it all, but he refused to pay attention to a howbeit, and every part of his life was destroyed, and it is spoken earlier of him that he was a good man, and he was doing good things. So why is it that he displeased the Lord so much? Because the Bible says he was doing really well. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. The high places are the things in your life that glorify Satan. If you've got 90% of God and 10% of Satan, it's still not okay. The high things in your life, the high places were places where they hid things unto Satan, where they sacrificed things to Satan. They would have their little parties for the devil. These were the high places, and they were protected. His error caused him to join with an evil king, and pretty soon compromise set in. Jehoshaphat let them fall into sin because he did not prepare their hearts to overcome evil. And tonight, I'm telling you, we need to prepare our hearts to overcome evil. You cannot have restoration if you cannot fight. Nobody likes to hear about fighting. You're tired. I'm tired. It doesn't matter. You get in that ring or someone's going to throw you in, because it's for you to do. It's for you to fight the enemy. And if you can't fight him on your own ground, on your own terms, in your own life, you can't fight him at all. Cry for restoration of your family, but you're holding on to high places. You cry for abundance in your job, but you're holding on to high places. And God shouts, it's all good. How be it, this one thing. If we cannot submit to the how be it, then we will never get to the place of a completely empty tomb. We'll keep walking back in there and finding how many wounded grave clothes we have. And we'll keep throwing things back in the face of God, trying to shadow what he's doing because it's too much for us to do. The Lord wants you to prepare your heart for the hard things today. I'm not talking about politics tonight. I'm not talking about anything as silly as that. I'm talking about the things that God has put on your heart to tell you, you need to go this way and then all this is going to be straightened. But this way costs you. This way will cost you. When you don't want to show up, when you don't want to perform, when you don't want to, you know what I mean? Suck it up. You're going to have to. Because that's preparing your heart for the greater thing of God. This year is going to be full of so many amazing things, and I want none of you left out of it. But the Lord is telling you, he is not going to honor a people who steps aside of a howbeit. We honor God except for the high place. The high place is that one thing. It's that thing of your pride. It's that thing of your own destination. It's the thing of your own heart and your own hope. That thing you have got to let go of, or you will never walk in the restoration that God has for you. Amen. Stand up, please. Because when you walk around, howbeit, what you're doing is you're finding a king who agrees with you. When you don't completely obey what the Lord's telling you, you'll find a king that agrees with you. You'll find him somewhere. And he'll tell you how great you are. You'll find him somewhere. The Lord wants us to prepare our hearts to move in what he's doing. He has said in his word that he wants us to prepare our hearts unto himself. And so tonight, I'm going to ask them to just to play some soft music. I want you to carry on before the Lord. I want you to make a commitment tonight to the Lord to get rid of the high things in your life. The things that are higher than you, the things that are higher than the Lord, the things that destroy the purposes of God in your life, the things that have made you soft, the things that have made you weak, the things that have made you lazy, the things that forbid you from fighting the good fight of Jesus Christ. We should abound. Every one of us should abound and gloriously abound. And when we don't, it's because we have not walked through the howbeit of God. When he says, except for this one thing, you will not prevail. And we must prevail at all costs because we are the servants of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Believe it or not, it's great to see you tonight. Let's worship. If you need prayer, please come forward. Please come forward and receive prayer. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Praise God. Cast those high things down. Cast those high things down. Things in your life that you know they're not of God. You know they're not of God. God's calling you to be something different. He's calling you to walk in a more perfect way. He's calling you to. He loves you. He loves you. But the enemy is about to trick some of you. He's just about to trick some of you. And you have to be on guard. He does not want you tricked. The enemy is just about to trick you. You've got to be careful with this. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters tonight. Praise God for his undying favor and his goodness upon us. You are loved tonight. You are greatly loved tonight. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Praise God.
This message has been by Reverend Sandy Kareen of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about this ministry, visit our website at www.therevivalcenter.info.